You're listening to How to Succeed in Evil, the novel, written and performed by Patrick E. McLean. For more information, visit succeedinevil.com. Chapter 6. There's money, and then there's money. Topper carried his double scotch neat from the bar and jumped into the back seat of the waiting town car. Edwin was already inside, impatient of delay. He scanned a folder of materials quickly, trying to get a feel for the situation. Where were the handles? Where could he obtain a purchase? What could he use as leverage? It was a very old game, and Edwin was very, very good at it. Topper knew better than to disturb his friend while he was thinking. But 5 minutes into the ride, his glass was empty, and he was growing bored. His eyes roved over the interior of the car. No television, no minibar, no well-drugged, scantily clad woman draped over a bench seat. All reasons why Topper much preferred limos. Edwin was definitely a point A to point B kind of guy. Topper didn't really care where he was going, so long as he got to enjoy the ride. While Edwin's brain combined and recombined pieces of information at frightening speeds, Topper's brain was doing a little worrying of its own. Sure, there wasn't a mini bar in the back seat, but that doesn't mean there wasn't the possibility of more booze in the front of the car. He'd never seen such a thing before, but then he'd never looked. And it followed a kind of logic. Really, why serve your own drinks when your driver could be your bartender, too? Topper peered over the front seat. He tapped the driver on the shoulder. "Excuse, Topper, please." "Be still," said Edwin. Topper sat back down, throwing the driver a little half-wave as he went, as if to say, "Yeah, he's crazy, but it's okay. He's a buddy of mine." But it was no good. Topper was still bored. The way Topper looked at it, it was his mission to inject a little fun into Edwin's life. But when one of these moods came over him, well, there was just nothing for it. But just as he was on the verge of giving up completely, there came a sound that Topper did not often hear. It was laughter. Edwin had laughed. It was not the rich laughter of strong men drinking lemonade and playing horseshoes on a summer afternoon. Nor was it the sharp, clear laughter of children on a playground. It was a laugh that managed to be sinister, sane, and free from irony.
"Hey, what is it?"
Topper asked, not really certain he wanted to know the answer. "Do you know the problem with money?"
"I know my problem with money. Well, I don't have enough of it."
"The problem with money isn't making it. The real problem is keeping it."
"Yeah, so?"
"Let's say you amass a sum of money."
"Say it. Let's do it. Let's amass a large sum of money. $2 million.
"No, no," Edwin said with an air of disappointment. "Not a dentist's retirement fund. I mean money. Several billion."
Okay. I like the way you think. I've got it in my mind."
"What would be the first thing you would do?"
"I'd get a proper limousine so I could freshen up this drink."
"Ah, you would buy a limousine."
"And a driver." "No, wait, I'd buy the limo and rent the driver. You know, slavery against the law and all that."
"There's more than one way to own a person," Edwin observed coldly. "But after the limo, a house or two, a few parties?"
"And a yacht, a great big one."
And so on and so on. Now, people imagine it takes a great deal of time to fritter away a great fortune, but in fact, it usually happens within 2 generations of a fortune being made, because the qualities and characteristics of people who make a great deal of money are rarely passed on to their children.
"I gotcha. Rich kids aren't hungry, but I'm not a rich kid. I got nothing but appetites."
"How well I know. And that's the point. It's the human condition. For all but a very disciplined few, no matter how much someone has, there's always more. There's always something else out there that would make them a little happier."
"A bigger yacht?"
"And after that, an island. And after that, a bigger island. And a bigger island.
And then Australia. I get it."
"But the thing about wealth is it only stays wealth if you continue to make money. Resources have a way of migrating to the people who are most productive."
"Huh?"
"The people who can actually do something with them. In a free or free-ish country, this happens because the children of people who built the fortune spend all their money on yachts and islands."
"And parties. Don't forget the wild parties."
"Yes, well, my point is made."
"Point? What point? What are we even talking about here?"
Edwin removed a picture of Dr. Loeb from the folder. In the photo, Taken from Edwin's security camera footage, one of the doctor's eyes was caught half-closed. His shaven head and prominent ears completed the general theme of lost and confused. This is Eustace Eugene Riley III, a.k.a. Dr. Loeb.
Is that a Nehru jacket?
I believe so.
Wow! I thought those were extinct.
Yes, his horrible taste in suits notwithstanding.
Well, I'm saying, it's the first thing I noticed.
Yes, but these are the pictures you should be looking at. Edwin held up two more pictures, Eustace's father and grandfather. Seems the great-great-grandfather founded the lap.
Lap? So big deal. If he'd founded the lap dance, now that would be something. Driver, if you see a strip club or a liquor store, you pull over. They have power in Lower Alabama? When did this happen?
Please, Topper, this isn't a cross-country trip. If you keep interrupting me,
I gotcha. The family made a lot of money and power.
Edwin flipped to the last page of the file. Take the idea of a lot of money, and then double it.
I bet their car has a minibar.
The father continued to build on the fortune.
Edwin, my liver is shrinking. You can't imagine how painful this is.
Father deceased, mother and only son surviving.
A sad tale,
said Topper, eyeing his dry glass mournfully. And within two generations the fortune will be gone. A large portion will be gone in taxes. The rest will have found its way into the hands of people who will use money as a tool. A tool to make more money.
Yeah, yeah. So why were you laughing?
I was laughing because I realized that we don't have to wait. We can liberate that useful money right now. No reason not to make an efficient process more efficient.
You got a strange sense of humor, E. So how are we going to do it? We going to steal the money?
You mean like a smash and grab job?
Yeah, yeah, smash and grab. Squealing tires, mini bar in the getaway car.
No, Topper, no smash and grab job. No squealing tires. How do you get something you want from someone?
Take it.
That's usually difficult, expensive,
and fun.
And there is always a chance, usually a good chance, that a robbery will fail. It's much easier to figure out what someone wants, really wants, deep down in those places people don't talk about, and then sell it to them.
What if they want the money?
Rich children only want the money when it's gone.
Well, how do you figure out what they want?
You ask them. And here Edwin laughed a small, disquieting laugh again. Two laughs in one day, in one car ride. Topper didn't understand what was going on, but he knew somebody was in trouble.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
Soon enough, Topper. Soon enough. And with that, the conversation was finished, and the sound of the car rolling over the road filled the space between the two men. And in the silence, Topper couldn't help but wonder what Edwin wanted, really wanted, deep down in those places people don't talk about.
You've been listening to How to Succeed in Evil by Patrick E. McLean. For more information, visit succeedinevil.com.